Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. We need this today. We need this, not just the coming together, but I want to make sure you get some quality meditation time in today. Thanks for your great feedback. Francis posted yesterday, who was already an excellent cook. She says Doc says she cooks better since she's been meditating. That's what he said. I'm not going to argue with that man. I said that man's a sage. If he says she's cooking better, I'm like, from your mouth to God's ear. So those of you that can't cook, if you just meditate, you'll learn how. And Eddie was just telling me that at his print shop, even just running the spa music and lighting a candle, he said it makes a difference with the atmosphere there. I said, it definitely does. I listen to meditative, not all the time, but in my car I'll listen to meditative music, and I notice that if there's a lot of traffic or whatever, it makes me deal with it better. You know, just hearing the music, there's a subliminal message in the music. Just say, relax, it's just traffic. You know, don't make it something that it's not. And, you know, suddenly I think, well, I'm in this beautiful car listening to beautiful music, and it's climate controlled, and, you know, it could be worse. I'm not out walking, so I might as well, you know, kick in some gratitude. So that's what we're going to do today. I think everybody pretty much knows what we're how we're going to do this today. And I'm pretty sure I'll go ahead and have an artist again next month, but I want to for sure finish out with this month. And I've loved every week's been different, but they've all been good and necessary and wonderful. And I think right now, you know, we've all got a lot on our plates. We do. Ken's, you know, his dad is kind of in the home stretch. I mean, we don't know how much longer he has, but he's nearly to the place that, I mean, we just saw each other this morning. We haven't seen each other all week. And he basically woke his dad up and said, sit in this chair until I get back. And, you know, I've got my hands full with my parents. You've got your hands full with all kind of stuff. So this is a little moment that you have to kind of charge your battery. And this really does make a difference. It's making more of a difference than you realize. And anything that pushes back on stress is a good thing, because stress is, I mean, I think stress is worse for you than cigarettes or alcohol. I mean, it's just the worst. So we're putting some stress into perspective. So let's do a few things. Can we bring the lights down? I've already lit a candle. We won't take any pictures during meditation. Those of you that are listening to this podcast, you can just meditate wherever you are, or if you're watching it on YouTube. And what I'd like you to do, if you put both feet on the floor, sit up as straight as you can. I know we all have our ways that we like to relax in a chair, but there is something about bringing your spinal column into some kind of alignment. It brings balance to you. It helps with your breathing. Even if you don't sit that way all the time, you can do it for a few minutes. Honestly, y'all are so good at meditating, I don't really have to over-explain this. I think you already know what to do. But you don't have to close your eyes. You can if you want to, but the main thing we're going to concentrate on is breathing. But one thing I do want to do, go ahead and start the music and let me kind of talk us into this. I don't want you to try to clear your mind, because when you try to clear your mind, it sort of persists. So just, you know, if your mind wanders, just gently bring it back, just bring it back, bring it back. And let's start breathing. Main thing meditation is about is breathing. My preference is to inhale through the nose and exhale through the mouth. If that works for you, then do that as well. If not, find a breathing mode that you can be consistent with. get some oxygen to your brain, into your blood. But before we start breathing, that I do want to take you to a certain direction, because we're talking this month about letting go. So I want you to, if you can, this is what I'd like you to do, is when you inhale, hold it, and then when you exhale through your mouth, just whisper those words. Let go. Breathe in, hold it. Let go. Breathe in, hold it. Let go. What are we letting go of? Well, you know what you need to let go of. Breathe in, hold it. Let go. You might even want to say, I'm letting go, or I let go. Say it in your mind, or just say it and just whisper it. Inhale, hold it. I let go. Hold it. I let go. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Let go. I let go. I'm letting go. And in any form of saying that, that's what I want you to get in that rhythm of breathe in and then let it go. Inhale, hold it, let go. Let go of the things you can't control. Become aware of your breath. The steadier you get with your breath, the less you'll hear my voice, and you'll get to that place of just being one. Anxiety. what's going to happen in the next few hours. Just let go. Out of your lungs, but out of your bones, out of your muscles, out of your internal organs. Whatever you're holding on to that's stopping your flow, let it go. Stay right where you are. We're going to do it one more time. You're doing great. Keep your feet on the floor. Empty your lap. Sit up straight. Keep breathing. the rhythm of your breath. It's all about your breath. It's all about your breath. Find your rhythm. If you can find a place in the music, do that. Left over from negative words that were spoken to you. Let it go. I'm not even talking about forgiveness. This isn't even about forgiveness. This is about just letting it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Forgiveness requires effort. What I'm saying is just let it go. It doesn't matter. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Something you've been holding inside of you since you were 7 years old. Let it go. It's been in you long enough. Let it go. Breathe it out. gradually come out of it. Don't come out of it abruptly, but just sort of come back into your body, into the manifestation of your physicality. We can bring the lights back up. Wow, that was good. That was really good. You know, you just meditated for about 17 minutes. I mean, that's a long time for a lot of people. Very, very good. Very good. Very good. Everybody good? What's that? It takes a few minutes. At a certain point, you start, it's like there's breathing that's kind of right here. But if you go in a few more minutes, it doesn't take a long time. It just gets a little bit deeper. You start feeling sort of deeper stuff coming up out of you. And it's not gross or anything. It's not like you're throwing up or anything. It's just like you're just breathing out. You know what I mean? It's not like deliverance. It's like, no, I don't know if that was a word of knowledge for somebody, but I just felt something you've been holding inside of you since you were 7. It's just time to let it go. It doesn't. Breath is amazing. You know, even you've seen so much in the last few hours about the winds of a hurricane, but, you know, it's amazing. Water moves a lot, but wind does too. And I don't know, when you get your breathing right, especially when you're sitting upright and you're breathing, it just flushes a lot out of you. Didn't you feel it? I felt it. And I'm not even particularly stressed out, but I just like, oh, wow, I could just feel. It's kind of like it went in 3 stages. It's like I was breathing, and then I'm like, wow, breathe. And then like I felt it coming out of my muscles, out of my shoulders. You know, sometimes you just don't even realize you're just sitting tensed up, you know, because you were bombarded with stuff, you know. You had to get up, you had to drive here today, whatever. It's like, I mean, you can handle it. It's just, you just need a minute to get.
You know what I thought about when I was doing this is how little I recognize the depth of breath while I'm meditating, but in my everyday life, I don't breathe that deep that I'm aware of.
If you didn't hear what Eddie just said, he said what one thing that happens to him when he meditates is he becomes more aware of how rarely he breathes deeply. And I think we all can do that. You know what I mean? We kind of breathe in the upper register. What's that? Yeah. Yeah, and that's why meditation is about breath, and it's about realizing you have all this lung capacity and you need to use it. And sometimes when you're not, like if you're walking around, it can really make you dizzy if you're not used to breathing a lot. So there's something about like sort of gradually moving into it. You kind of take your breath deeper, deeper, deeper. And that's why, you know, when you see some of these Buddhist monks, that they've gotten to a place where they can meditate for like 24 hours unbroken. And that's when really unusual things have happened, like where they levitate and stuff. You think, don't worry, you're not near floating out of your seat yet. Some of you are like, hey, now I'll breathe with you a little bit. I ain't floating now. But, okay, good. Which radio station? Oh, yeah. Ken's on the road a lot, so there's a station he listens to out of New York, and every hour they remind you about your breathing. I mean, honestly, I don't want to oversimplify it, but I don't think breath would cure all of the world's ills, but it would make things a lot better if people would just calm down and breathe and not overreact. Think about the things that you've made worse in your life because you responded too quickly or overreacted or you moved out of your emotions and before you knew it, you said something that you didn't really mean and you caused irreparable damage. It's hard to unring a bell once you've said something. And sometimes just the breathing, even I don't second guess the things I say when I'm in that mode. But even when I said this isn't about forgiveness, forgiveness requires an act of the will. And forgiveness is a good thing. But there's some things when you talk about forgiveness, you're like, I can't go there on forgiveness with that person. If you talk about just letting it go, yeah, I can do that. And it's kind of a different thing. Because forgiveness, I'm a big believer in forgiveness, but forgiveness does mean that you have to think about the thing that you're forgiving the person for, which can kind of reactivate it. But just letting it go is, it's just letting it go, you know? What Jackie said is you're literally feeding yourself through the oxygen that you breathe. That's why I told you even the word exercise, it comes from the root word oxygen. It means oxygenate. That's why if you've ever worked with a trainer, they keep telling you breathe, breathe, breathe. Even I remember one time I'd gone to Doc. Something was going on in my back. It might have been when I had vertigo. I don't remember. But I remember her saying, breathe into it, breathe into it. And I have come back to that before. You know, sometimes if you have pain, your instinct is to hold back from it, and you nearly have to breathe through it, breathe into it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like I don't think of God just saying, let there be light. I think of him breathing, let there be light. You know what I mean? Light be. And it's good stuff. I love hearing your feedback. Fro was talking about Lamaze, and I think you mentioned that, Cynthia, last week. It's not like Lamaze takes the labor pains away. It helps you manage them. You know what I mean? It's like that's why it's all about, yeah, same principle about breathing. And that's whatever you learned in a Lamaze class is applicable to just going through the stress of life. Sometimes it's just like, well, I got to breathe through it, breathe through it, breathe through it. Couple of things, and then I'm just going to share with you. We're in a different mode this month, and I think you understand that. Our outreach this month is Hurricane Harvey. It's like so much has happened since last week. We're like, who was Harvey? I don't remember that. But those people in Texas are still, you know, they're still in the middle of their stuff. And I don't know what we'll do next month, but that's where our money is allocated for this month. And we're doing it through the Red Cross. Don't have an event planned, but we definitely will have one for next month because it's, I mean, fall's here again, amazingly. So we got, I don't care what you're going through. We got to go look at some leaves. That's mandatory. We don't know because of his dad. We're not really sure what our schedule is going to be like. But typically, this is our sixth fall together, and we milk fall for all it's worth. Like if we get 10 minutes, we drive and look at it. I just love that. I love all of it. So I'll tell you about it. I'm thinking we might do Dillard House again because we haven't done that in a couple of years, and that's a. And I want it to be a little. I want us to have better tables than we had last time. I want us to have tables up close to the front where the windows are. And I mean, it was okay last time, but I want it to be better this time. So it will be better this time because I get what I want. You just have to think about saying it. Let's see. Was there anything else? Okay. I do want to share something with you. It's kind of along the lines of. Even what we're talking about with the breathing, because our topic this month is letting go and dealing with unfinished business. And the thing that I posted this 2 or 3 nights ago about Irma, I really felt very strongly in my spirit. And the only reason I took it down is there were people, they weren't attacking me. They just didn't understand what I was saying. And my head's in a different place right now. I don't have time to stop and write out an explanation and contend with somebody. I'd rather just say, look, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I don't have time. You'll figure it out later. You'll get to it. And furthermore, you remember when I showed you that meme of Glinda saying to Dorothy, Because she wouldn't believe me. She had to learn it for herself. That kind of is true. There's just certain things that people, you're like, I love you, baby, but I know you don't get what I'm talking about right now. And you're going to have to, find your own yellow brick road, because I can't, there's things I didn't know until I learned them for myself. And I just believe, you know, go with the journey, go with the flow. In the meantime, I'm taking down my post because I just don't have time to deal with y'all. Did somebody really inbox you about being thankful for more than... Frances posted, she must have been drinking coffee. She said, today I'm thankful for coffee and cookies. And which, haven't you ever bitten into something like, this is the best thing I've ever eaten? Well, somebody had to rebuke her that was, what I loved is I loved your sarcastic response. Because I'm trying not to be sarcastic now, so those of you that are sarcastic, I can live vicariously through you. She said, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I forgot to say I'm thankful for everything else. I thought, really? Do people have nothing better to do? It's not like you were saying, I'm not thankful for anything in the world except this cup of coffee. It's not an either or. I mean, I guess that's why they call them trolls. There must be people who just sit under, remember the troll that sat under the bridge that waited? There must be people who just... You must just be looking for a fight. Like, I would say, look, there's some things that are worth fighting over. If you want to fight over racism or politics, whatever, all right, I don't want to get in the fight with you, but there's a fight. But some things, like, really? Coffee and cookies? Like, you really need a hobby, baby. You know? Like, you might want to look into knitting. It's just ridiculous. But I'm only saying that to say... Let me tell you what I said in this post, because I do, it's kind of a new neuropath for me. I was just sitting there, I was watching the news, watching all about the hurricane stuff, and this is how, I didn't feel compelled to rebuke the storm. You know how, in the Godfather movies, you know, the whole thing about the mafia was if you went to the Godfather, you didn't disrespect him. There was a way that you approached the Godfather. And gangs have that mentality as well, that if, you know, the worst thing you can do to a gang member is disrespect them. Like, people get killed for disrespect. And I was thinking about it. I thought, first of all, storms, they're not from the devil. Whatever you think about global warming, you know, like, that's, it doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not, something's going on. Right now, we're just dealing with the fact that a hurricane's coming. And I love Florida. I would like Florida to stay there. I like to go there frequently. But not that I thought of Irma as a thug, but I thought, this is how I addressed, I didn't pray, I addressed it to Irma. I said, Dear Irma, I am in awe of nature, because I am, you know, they say this storm actually started in Africa, and it swirled, and they could track it all the way across the Atlantic, which is kind of fascinating if you think about it. Like, I don't want to be in the path of destruction, but it's kind of amazing. And, you know, main thing I miss about Barack Obama is people don't have him to blame storms on now. They've gone back to blaming it on gay people. And I've had several gay people I know say, on behalf of the gay community, I'd like to apologize for the storms that we caused. And I wrote to somebody, I said, well, we did vote on it at the meeting, if you'll remember. That was our project for this year. I think we're planning on 3 hurricanes this year. Sweet Jesus. So anyway, I thought, this is how I felt, like, because I was thinking about when Jesus calmed the storm. If you think about it, he didn't rebuke the storm. He spoke to it as if he respected it. He said, peace, be still. In other words, I know who you are. I recognize your power, your whatever, but I'd like you to calm down. And that's what I said. I said, Dear Irma, I'm in awe of nature. I respect your power and the size, but I would like to respect however I said it. Ask you to please calm down and move out to sea in the next few hours. And I wasn't being facetious. I mean, I really felt like, this is what I felt like. I felt like Irma was like this powerful thing that if I just pick at it and rebuke it, I'm going to irritate it and make it worse. And so I felt like praying in the flow of nature. Because it's not demonic, it's just air that gets trapped, warm air hit, I mean, this is a simplistic explanation, but it's warm air hitting cold air, and it gets in a spiral in the sun. It just creates, there's an effect. There's nothing supernatural. It's not God trying to wipe out New Orleans, because, you know, it's just not. Even somebody that I worked with years ago, I went to hear them minister sometime back, and they were talking about Katrina, and they said God sent Katrina to New Orleans because he don't like gambling. And I thought, okay, first of all, it's a ridiculous premise, but also I don't think New Orleans is known for gambling. Isn't that more of a, why didn't he wipe out Biloxi or Atlantic City or Las Vegas? I mean, if he was upset with New Orleans, I would think it would be for other. Well, yeah, I thought if you're going to come up with, Eddie said they got one casino and it ain't that good. I thought if you're going to come up with some stupid BS thing, then at least come up with something that makes sense. You know, God didn't like the gay pride parade or something like that. But gambling, New Orleans, not really, like, you know, this is why people don't go to church anymore, because of stupid stuff like that. Anyway, but I felt like that was the right thing to do. And I said, I appeal to the maternal instincts of Mother Nature. And I ask you to please spare the lives of people in Florida and in the Caribbean, where you have already taken several lives. And I really felt a witness on it. And the reason I took it down is I didn't want to argue about it. To me, it seemed like such a holy thing that I didn't want to dishonor it by arguing. So I just took it down. I thought, people that get it, get it. But it got me to thinking about other things. Now, I was taught from spiritual warfare, you know, James 4:6, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So we were taught resist, resist, resist. Well, then the laws of attraction people come along and they say, whatever you resist persists. And I have seen evidence of that. And it made me think, well, how did Jesus deal with Satan? It's interesting, because whoever and whatever Satan was, Jesus kind of spoke, in a sense, respectfully to him. It's like he said, get behind me. He didn't say, go to hell. He said, get behind me. Or, Satan has come to me, but there's nothing in me. Or, now the God of this world is cast down. So, this whole thing that we sort of developed with, I rebuke it in Jesus' name, I'm not sure you could support that from the way Jesus thought of things. Even, you know, like when the centurion comes to Jesus and he says, just speak a word, my servant will be healed. That man, didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He just said, I think you have power over your words. And if you say to your words will obey you like my 100 men obey me. And Jesus said, that's the greatest faith I've seen in Israel. He didn't say, rebuke the God, the false gods of Rome and come and worship me. He just said, wow, that's amazing that you know that. This whole us versus them thing that Christianity developed, I don't think really can be supported from the Gospels. Those that are not against us are for us. So it's got me to thinking, and I'm very careful how I say this, because I know there are people in here who have been affected by disease. We're dealing with Ken's dad right now. But it's made me think that when you do have something like cancer or whatever, just hear me out. I'm not saying not to push back. I'm not saying not to get treatment. I'm saying there's a way that you need to think about it, nearly like, understand what I mean, respecting it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, it's not a trivial thing. It's, all right, cancer, I see who you are, and I recognize that you've taken a lot of people out. I don't want to irritate you. You know, sometimes like the doctor will open you up and they'll say, we were going to take this tumor out, but we're afraid that if we do, it's going to metastasize and it's going to end up being worse. I think sometimes, do you understand what I'm saying? It's like sometimes you can meet a foe and nearly make it worse. Like, there's a reason why Jesus said, agree with your adversary quickly when you're in the way with him. I'm not saying just roll over and take it. I'm saying understand it. Don't trivialize it. Like, yeah, cancer, you spooked me big time. Yes, but I'm going to respectfully say I would like to opt out of this thing. And I just to say, devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, it's not all that effective. I see people that do that and don't get results. So it made me think, wow, I'm not saying that you should just not, there's some things that need to be resisted, absolutely. But I think they have to be understood. Like I remember, it ended up we didn't even do this, but I remember before we built the building in Conyers, we had gone to look at a building in Covington that was vacant. That this is years ago, back in the early 90s. And I happened to know that that property butted up against a pastor that I knew, that he and I were okay with each other, but we had awkwardness because sometimes people get mad at me and they leave my church and they go to his church, and it was just awkward. We didn't really have bad blood, we just had weirdness. And I remember I called him before we went and looked, and I said, look, I want to say something to you. I said, I'm taking my staff tomorrow, and a real estate agent is going to show us this property that's close to your church. But I recognize that you've been here for years. I consider you an elder in this county, in this city, really a gatekeeper. And I can only do this with your permission. And if you're not cool with this, I won't go look at this property. And he said something interesting. He said, you know, if you hadn't said that to me, if I had heard Swilly's over there, he said, I would have gone straight to the pulpit and fought you with it. He said, but because you asked me and because you put me in this position, really kind of have to give you my blessing, he said, I told my staff about it, and I said, you know, well, it could be a great thing and we could work together and do great things for this city. Now, it ended up we didn't get that property, but it taught me something. Like, I could have made an enemy out of him. I could have said, you don't own Covington. Well, the thing is, there's a reason why people don't disrespect your house. Do you know what I mean? There's some things, like Judah got into a scrap with a boy from the church years ago, and I could have pressed charges because he actually came into our house. But I looked, and now when I look at him on Facebook, I'm like, you really ought to thank me that I didn't move you in a certain direction, because I could have. If y'all just had an issue out in the parking lot, y'all work it out. Once you walk through my front door and I start attacking people and breaking my furniture, now I'm going to have to say something about it because you disrespected where I live. And it, you know, God spoke to me and said, you know, what if that was your son? So I had mercy on him, and thank God, you know, because he is still friends with a lot of people that I'm friends with. But it taught me a lot about why you acknowledge even evil power or power that you consider contrary to you. Do you know what I mean? It's new, and I'd never thought of this before, but I thought of it as, you know, cancer's nothing to mess with. So it's nearly like, not that it needs to be loved, but it needs to be acknowledged. Like, wow, cancer, I recognize that you're a big deal. And just be, I don't know, I just never thought of praying this way, but I thought of it with these storms. To me, I didn't have the faith to believe that I could just say, Irma, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. That just didn't even, I could say those words, but that didn't seem real to me. I mean, this, when they're saying it's the largest storm that's ever come to, you know, to the United States, I'm like, well, that's bigger than what Jesus rebuked on the Sea of Galilee. But what I could believe is, you know, Mother Nature's, God's not angry. I think Mother Nature is. And I thought, I've just been thinking there's a different way we need to pray. Even there's a scripture where it says that he said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Remember, it's like there's a certain arrogance sometimes among spiritual people that nearly makes them come across as petty. And I believe that you have ears to hear what I'm saying. And that's why, even with the breathing today, that's what I was feeling is there's some things that realistically, I don't know that you can forgive it unless God just did something amazing to you. But, you know, like somebody kill somebody's child or something. I think, how do you forgive that? I mean, I don't know that I could do it. So you have to learn another way. How am I going to deal with it? I'm gonna breathe out the effect of it. And there's just something about flow, about harmony, about learning how God thinks about things. And I think if you, for lack of a better term, honor the power of something else, I think you make it less dangerous to you. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes, it's just like when two guys that are way too full of testosterone get in some stupid fight and end up killing each other over something they don't even feel that passionate about. And you think, was that worth it? Was that worth it? Y'all shoot each other over that? When really, there's something about just saying to somebody, man, no disrespect. You misunderstood me. That's not, you know, that's, you're not being a punk. You're being mature when you do that. It's not that you couldn't fight it. It's like, it's just not worth it. And that's what I was trying to explain. Somebody posted me yesterday, and it's still on there, but they posted, because there was a video of all the living presidents coming together and asking for hurricane relief for Harvey. And President Trump also endorsed it. So it's not like they were working against him. But when I look at that, with as much tribalism and division as there is, I'm so happy when I see Jimmy Carter say, and both President Bush's are standing for Texas. I'm like, thank you. It makes me feel like, yes, that's my America, when people who can have different ideologies but still work together for a common purpose. And so I posted it, and I hate that I have to make these disclaimers, but I said, please keep any negative comments away, just because I don't want to, including, I mean, you don't have to read between the lines to know what I probably think about our president, but I don't want to get involved in the fray. You know what I mean? And like, there's enough of that going on. If that's what you want to do on your page, fine. I'm just, my head's not there. So to me, like, there's nothing else that could be said about him that hasn't already been said. So I'm like, and I might can read something that somebody else posts and go, I feel you. But on my page, happy pictures, grandkids, memes, good quotes. And it's not because I'm not afraid of a fight. Baby, I can slice and dice you in a debate. I don't want to do that. But that doesn't bring me joy. I don't, you know, just, I don't want to do that. I understand why Moses prayed. Remember when Miriam and Aaron rebuked him for marrying the Ethiopian woman and their arm turned to leprosy? And he prayed mercy on him. Because that wasn't what he wanted. He just wanted a black girlfriend. Because once you go black, right? And that's in the Bible. In that Bible. That's in the Bible, right? Right under blacks don't crack, right? I got it. I discern the times. I probably need to even stop joking like that. I'm like, I'm the last white man in the world that can say stuff like that. And I'm probably not getting by with it. But y'all know what I mean. Ain't nothing wrong with a little chocolate. You heard? Okay. I'm sorry. Edit that out. I don't know where they came. The devil is a lie. But the point is, it's not like he looked at them and said, see, I told you not to mess with me. He felt bad for them. I mean, I've heard of bad things happening to people that really caused me trouble, and I was never gratified by it. I'm always like, ugh, I hate that happened for them. That's not what I wanted. So there's a, I don't know, it's just a different place I'm at in my head. Even, you know, I want to build a bridge with you. I don't want to, if there's certain things we're never going to agree on, then fine, let's don't talk about those things. Let's find the things that we can agree on, because I'm telling you, the trajectory this country's on is not healthy, where people are just getting more and more polarized, and nobody's hearing anybody anymore. Now it's just like, well, I'm not hearing anything you're saying because I know you're a liberal or you're a conservative or you're a Nazi. And people use all these words. You got to watch what words you use. You know, before you call somebody, I mean, you call somebody a Nazi, that's pretty deep. Or call somebody a communist or whatever. It's like those are extreme. I've gotten very aware. Like a couple times lately, I've been really hungry and I've nearly said, I'm starving. And I think, no, you know what? I'm not starving. People in third world nations are starving. I'm famished. I'm really hungry, but I'm not starving. And I don't even want to say those words over myself, you know, because we end up saying these extreme things that aren't even, they're not even true. So I've been thinking about that, and I just want to show you these three quotes. They're all about letting go, and they kind of are all along these lines. The first one is, I think it's Lao Tzu, and he says, the best fighter is never angry. Like I've seen people who've said, I got this disease, and I'm like, I'm mad at the devil, I'm going to fight, and I nearly see it kind of work against them. I'm not saying Satan is powerful, whatever Satan is. I'm saying you make things powerful by the way that you respond to them. And there's a reason why Proverbs says a soft answer turns away wrath. There's certain things, like for instance, recently I was having a conversation with someone that, let me just say, I had to really take the high road with this person for us to still have a relationship, but it was important to me. And there's certain things we never acknowledge that this person said to me, I just let it go because I'm an adult and I just let it go. But having a conversation with this person about somebody else that he was having problems with, I said, well, how's that going? And he said, well, we've kind of come to terms. He said, I just don't like having, you know, bad energy out there with somebody and, you know, saying bad things to him. And I had to resist every sarcastic urge because I wanted to go, you mean the time like when you told me? And I thought, no, there's no point. That's where this person is now. So I'm going to let that old stuff go that we're probably never going to resolve and just say, well, good. At least now you got it. I would have preferred that you had gotten it a couple of years ago. But it was kind of a touchstone for me because I could have said, huh, that's really ironic that you would say that, but, you know, but it didn't matter. Living in the now is really powerful. And Scripture says there is a time to be angry. Paul said, be angry and sin not. I'm not saying that some anger isn't justified. What I'm saying is when you fight angry, sometimes you need to fight smarter. Sometimes even your own day can become an opponent. Do you know what I mean? Like when you suddenly realize this day is, I hate this day. And before you know it, you're fighting the energy of the day. I think sometimes that's dangerous. For me, I would rather just say, let me regroup. I don't like the direction this day is going in. I don't like the thoughts I'm thinking, which are going to, if I don't arrest them now, there are going to be words I'm going to say that I don't want to say. So I'm going to reboot. I'm going to change the energy on this day. I'm going to create a new reality and not fight it. Letting go is not necessarily a sign of weakness. Sometimes it's a sign of great strength. The second thing I want to show you is by this woman. I don't know why that's her name, but that's the way she has it. She said, if you want to forget something or someone, never hate it or never hate him or her. Everything and everyone that you hate is engraved upon your heart. If you want to let go of something, if you want to forget, you cannot hate. I completely agree with that. This is when you know your ex has moved on, is when they're not mad at you anymore. When you just realize, well, hey, you know what? Whatever we had, we had. It was good while it lasted. It's gone now. Life moves on. You can tell someone, when somebody still has an issue with you, and you think, wow, you're still involved in this. You're involved in a fight with me that I'm not having with you. Like, you might want to redirect that, because I'm not involved in this. Whatever this dialogue is, it's more of a soliloquy in your own head. I remember one time, and I say these things with detachment now, but I remember this, another pastor, I was out in front of my house one day, and he pulls up. I didn't never met this guy. He says, I just need to talk to you. I said, why? He says, because I just drive by this house and say, I hate this guy. I hate him. He said, I'm just tired of hating you. And I thought, have we ever met? I was like, easy, buddy. You know, wow, you hate me? I mean, wouldn't I have had to have done something to you to hate me? He said, no, I don't know. It's you. It's not me. Which I kind of don't like those things, because when people say, I want you to forgive me because of all this terrible stuff I've said about you, it's kind of like they want to have their cake and eat it too. Like, they still want to say their stuff to you. Let me tell you why I hated you. No, you know what? Why don't you just forgive me and keep driving? And I'll just wave. Because now you're going to say all this stuff that now I've got to process. After you walk away, I'll be like, what? How dare you? Like, I'm not even having an argument with you. I don't know you. Call me crazy, but I think I would kind of have to know somebody to hate them.
You know, a lot of people do that, do it to relieve their own conscience.
Right. What he said is a lot of people do it to relieve their own conscience. And exactly, it's like, oh, you want to be absolved of this, but you still want to say your stuff to me. Which, again, it goes back. I don't think, not everything has to be confronted. Even, you know, over there in Matthew 18, when Jesus said, if you have an ought against someone, go to them. He only gives you three scenarios. He says, go to them. If they don't receive you, take a witness. If they don't receive you, take it to the church. If that doesn't work, move on. He didn't say, you just hang in there and you harass them until you finally wear them down. I mean, even the turn the other cheek thing is like, all right, you get one more of those and that's it. I just got two. And so then we're done. You hit me again, I'm going to hit back. This idea of, I'm just not going to give up till I make you love me. No, you're going to get a restraining order. You remember this just blew me away. A few years ago, there was this comedian who he had a routine in his thing about ladies, if you go out with a man one time and he never calls you again, he's just not that into you. And they made, like, people like we've never heard such wisdom. He ended up writing a book and they made a movie about it. Yes. And I'm like, duh, really? Are people that? But his point was, is, you know, women who say, well, he hasn't called, but I know, I could just tell there was a way he looked at me. And I thought, wow, really, are people in that much denial that it takes this guy just saying something that's so obvious? Because basically, people do what they want to do. If you can't get somebody out of your mind, you're going to call them. You know, just say, I've been thinking about you for weeks, but I could go, no, that doesn't work that way. So if somebody doesn't call you back, that's why I don't harass people about, like, if you're not here for a little while, I'm going to be concerned about you if I make sure you're okay. But I don't harass you about, do I wish everybody came? Heck yeah. I mean, yesterday I'm reading just that little thing I posted about Irma, all the stuff people were saying. Even today we were over here at Starbucks, and I didn't even tell you. While I was waiting for my coffee, some guy, that I don't even recognize his name. He said, I just want you to know I've been listening to your tapes from Church of the Now. He says, you are the greatest teacher who ever lived. And I always think, man, I should be able to fill up this little theater if I'm this many people. Because people don't say to me, you preached a good sermon. They say, oh my God, you saved my life. I hear it at least once a day. So I always think, huh, I'd have a bigger crowd. But I'm so much about, I want you to be here because you want to be here, that I don't want to harass you. Like this morning, I thought, man, I hope people come today, because, you know, you're hearing all this stuff on the news. You got a lot going on. Well, some people came. Hey, I'm not mad. The last thing you need is for me to sit up here and complain about. Complain and moan about the people that didn't come, because you're like, we're here. We don't want to have to sit here and listen to somebody else's, you know, reprimand. I remember one time I was in the chapel choir when I was in college. I joined so that I would stop missing chapel, because I'd missed so many of them that if you miss 10, you get 10, like demerits, you lose 10 honor points and you get suspended. And so I was like, I've got to figure out a way to get a check, because it was excruciatingly boring. So I joined the chapel choir because my friend Howie was in there, and we could at least sit up there and make fun of people. And one day the choir was singing, which took a big chunk out of the chapel, the people who were sitting in the pews. And our president got up and just berated everybody. I can't believe these are Bible school students and people. There shouldn't be this many empty seats here. How do you think you're going to go to the mission field? And finally somebody said, Dr. Homer, there's like 80 people sitting behind you on the stage. Oh, the choir's singing today. Never mind. But my point is, like, if people think, well, I don't come to Metro and you don't call me, it's because I don't want to harass you. I don't. The last things, I don't want you to wake up one morning and go, I better get in the car and drive over there. He's going to be on me. I don't want to be that guy. I want the flow in my life. But if you keep hating somebody, or worse yet, if you're going through life with a chip on your shoulder, and you can kind of tell when people have it, like they have a general sense of grievance, that it's always somebody else's fault, their problem is always somebody else's problem, and everybody does it. You know, the president blames everybody, and then Hillary comes out with a book this week, she's blaming everybody. I'm like, well, everybody blames everybody. Why don't one of y'all say, hey, it was me? I still haven't heard a politician say that yet. It was me, because everybody's saying it's them. It's the Republicans say it's the Democrats. The Democrats say it's the Republicans. I think it's you. And that's true for all of us. If you're just walking through life half-cocked and mad because you're just waiting to go off on somebody, you're going to create some reality for yourself that you do not want. Furthermore, the universe is just kind of responding to you. And this idea of, doesn't God see how bad my situation is? Well, whoever God is, God sees everything. That's just being moved with compassion for you isn't going to necessarily make it better for you. I'm telling you, I can tell you this every week and it wouldn't be too much. Until that little attitude gets better, God's not big enough to fix your situation. God is not bigger than your attitude. He ain't. She ain't, it ain't, universe ain't, something ain't. When you finally say, hey, you know what? Life isn't necessarily fair, so I'm going to stop. I think you ought to just take that one out of your vocabulary altogether. As soon as you say, that's not fair, you're automatically, you put yourself in the victim line. It's just so much better to go, hey, you know, stuff happens. This is a thing I'm dealing with. And, you know, I'm going to get through it like I've got through everything. But this whole thing about, it's not fair. Why did this happen to me? Where was God and all this? It's just, you're just wasting your time saying that kind of stuff.
You know what, Jim? Sometimes you have to learn to live in harmony, even, in my case, like I have had 10 years. It's never going to defeat me. I'm never going to defeat it.
You've learned to coexist with it. That's precisely my point. What Eddie's, and I'm so happy that we are in this environment that it's mature enough that he can talk about being positive, and that we all know, well, it's a reality in the modern world. And what he's saying is, I've learned to coexist with it. It's not going to defeat me. I'm not going to defeat it. It's not going to kill me. I'm going to live out my life, which is true. You know, there was 30 years ago, the predictions were it's going to wipe everybody out. Well, that is not the reality. And eventually there will be a cure like there has been for other stuff. But in the meantime, that's precisely my point. I'm not telling you to not take your meds or whatever. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying when you take your meds, take it with gratitude. Well, thank God I've got something that I can, that this is my way that I'm keeping my life going. But I'm not going to, I don't want to irritate. It's like there's some things that are dangerous enough that it's like you, when you push back on it, it's like the thing comes back to show you, I'll show you. Like, for instance, I taught on this before, but, you know, when the Titanic sailed, it was billed as the ship that cannot sink. They said there's no way the ship can sink. There are six flotation compartments, and it could float on any one of them. Well, maiden voyage, bottom of the ocean. Over here, it's now called the Ellis Hotel. It's on the corner of Peachtree and Ellis. Back in the 40s, it was the Winecoff Hotel. And it was billed as the hotel that can't burn, because hotel fires used to be a big issue. And they said this is a completely fireproof hotel. Worst hotel fire in history. People jumping out of windows. It was horrible. And then you got, I told you this before, but I was watching a documentary about the Twin Towers made in January of 2001. And they were interviewing the guy who was the caretaker of the grounds. And they said, what would happen if a plane ran into it? And he said, there's no way these buildings could ever fall. He said, well, they can withstand impact. He said, let me put it to you this way. When there is no more civilization, these two buildings will still be standing. And as he was talking, there was a crawl on the bottom of the screen that said he's one of the first ones that died on 9/11. Now, I'm in no way saying God's did that. I'm saying there's something about the arrogance of saying that you're indestructible. It's like, look, Jesus spoke to a storm. He spoke to a tree. He spoke to a dead girl. It's interesting how much time we think Jesus prayed, and really he wasn't praying that much. He was talking to the thing. He spoke to the fig tree. And I think when you say to things, certain things, to say like this, disease, you're not going to kill me. Let's find a way to coexist. And I think that's brilliant. And I see too many people who just, it's like something Ken tasted the other day, because Ken's got a real sweet tooth, and it wasn't quite sweet enough for him. And he said, well, that was just enough to make me angry. And I knew what he meant by that. It's like, you know, if you're really craving something sweet or something salty, you need something that's going to scratch that culinary itch. And you eat something, you're like, well, that wasn't it. A few times lately, because I pretty much eat dinner by myself every night now. So there's some nights where I'm just like, I just get in the car, like, what am I going to eat? One night this week, I don't even want to tell you what I ended up having for dinner. But I just couldn't think of anything. And I didn't want to go sit in a restaurant by myself. And I didn't want to order from Grubhub. And I just ended up, I was like walking around Publix, like, I'll eat this and this. It was, I'm sure they must have thought I was high with the stuff I was buying, because it looked like I had the munchies. And I was like, This is my dinner. I don't want to go sit in a restaurant by myself. And if I go to Whole Foods one more time, they're gonna kick me out, you know. And so I'm like, I'm just gonna eat these. I'm too embarrassed to tell you. All right, it was sour cream and onion potato chips and Rocky Road ice cream. Are you happy now? I was like, the end of the jerk. That's all I need is these potato chips and this ice cream. And it was funny because I didn't even know what ice cream I wanted. I was just like standing at the freezer like, And this guy, he came and got the one lat I thought was the last Rocky Road. And I was like, wait, that's what I wanted. And then, like, no, okay, there's one more. This guy had no idea. He completely determined what I had for dinner. I don't eat like that every night, but I'm saying, what was my point in telling you that? No, that wasn't the point. I'm glad y'all were positive enough to have heard that. It's not. I was going somewhere with that. I was talking about. There was some excellent point I was making there. Perhaps this will come back to me. Let me show you the what? Yeah, but that was. That sounds so sad. Huh? Yeah, but what would that have to do with?
You might have just went off on a tangent. You know, preachers tend to do that
sometimes. Oh, I know, because I was talking about you saying the sweets weren't enough. Yeah, but then what was the point of that? Yeah, but there was some reason I brought that up though. Yeah, but so, but what was the point of that? There was I'm trying to connect these dots. What? Inhale, exhale. Everything doesn't have to make sense all the time. All right, and this, this is an interesting quote. He says, have patience with everything that remains unsolved in your heart. Live in the question. Now, that's interesting because I do like to know what's going on. I do want to know. I was reading Psalm 19 yesterday, you know, where David said, who can understand his errors? Like what? Why do you respond to things the way you do? But there is something about solving mysteries but knowing you're never going to solve it all that I think is a more intelligent way to live. There's some things that I know that I get a sense for, and there's other things I don't. We're dealing with all three of our parents right now, and I kind of went inside myself this week and said, kind of give me a time frame. Like, what are we talking about here? And I got nothing. I didn't hear anything back. I thought, well, I guess it's not in stone. I guess there's nothing, you know. I guess we're going to do this one day at a time. There's some things I just know that I think, well, no, I know that I know, or I feel prophetic. There's other things, well, you don't know everything. We know in part and we prophesy in part. And that's one, I think that's one of my biggest issues. Like, I was scrolling down the feed yesterday, and I got a lot of people I'm friends with that are like fundamentalist Christians or whatever, and they just sound so sure of everything that it nearly is off-putting. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I don't think Christians know everything. Like, y'all, there's something about, if you want to pray a certain way, if that's what works for you, nobody should tell you that's not the right way to pray. I don't like that. If that's your way to make contact, there's a reason why it's called the secret place of the Most High. There might be a path you have to God that's secret to you that I will never understand. So how dare anybody be arrogant enough to tell somebody else they're wrong, which is why I deleted that post, because people were telling me you're wrong to do it this way. And I think, no, you don't. First of all, you don't know me, and I don't want to contend with you. You're living in a different dimension than I live in. I would rather talk to people that hear my voice, only because I just don't want to waste time. And I know there are other things, people have to learn for themselves. But I love the humility of the word namaste, meaning, look, if you have found a path, then I respect that. And that goes equally for people that are kind of still where I came from. If you believe certain things about God and the devil and the Bible, then fine. I'm not going to try to talk you out of that. That's why I don't even want to argue with those people. I'm like, look, I understand where you're coming from. If that's where the energy is for you, then fine. Like, you're trying to talk me out of something that I'm not trying to talk you out of. Harmony is so important. I was trying to explain this. No, I wasn't trying to explain it. I was telling Avery this the other day. I said, this is kind of the way I feel about strife and why I have such a reaction to it. And I may have said it to y'all, but you know, in the fairy tale, the princess and the pea, you know, that was they said that the person who was pure enough to become the princess, she had such whatever body was, she could feel any imperfection in the mattress she slept on. And remember, that's how they even did a musical at Carol. That's how Carol Burnett got started. She was in Once Upon a Mattress. And in the, you know, they stacked up all these mattresses, and the princess laid on, and they put a pea under one of them, and she could feel it. And that's how they knew she was the princess. I said, that's kind of the way I feel about strife. It's like I have so removed anything from my life that's not joyous to me, that anything that just makes me feel a little bit, just the slightest bit stressed out, it's like I just don't have tolerance for it. If it's controllable. Like, there's some stress you have that's like, you know, you have to deal with it. Things with your kids or whatever. I mean, you've got, but even with that, you got to put it in perspective. I've had this conversation with several of you who have adult kids. Any of you that have adult kids, repeat after me. Breathe in. Let go. Breathe in, hold it, let go. That's when you have to have little talks with yourself and say, they're grown up now. I mean, I'll be here for them if I can, but they got to figure it out, Jesus. You know, when they're living under your, you know, when you're saying, as long as your feet are under my table, well, their feet aren't under your table now. So you just have to watch them make their little mistakes and go, that's going to be a real interesting lesson you're about to learn. Yeah, that was going to leave a mark. But you'll be a better person for it in the long run. Jesus' name. But you have to let it go, let it go, let it go. Ain't got, you know, there's a part of you that's always going to worry about your kids. But you, as they get older, you do have to get things in perspective. And say, well, these are the decisions that you're making. So as long as it's not affecting me directly, then figure it out. Like I had to figure it out when my parents thought I was making mistakes, and perhaps I was. Maybe I was, but it was my life and it was my journey, and now they're my lessons that I learned. Bring up a child in the way he or she should go. And sometimes you think, I don't know, I don't think we did that. Well, it's too late now. They are what they are. So love them. And this is true for everything. You can't, you remember the lyrics to that Jim Croce song? You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull off the mask of the old Long Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim or Slim or somebody. Somebody you didn't mess around with. I loved him too. But there's a truth to that. Like, if you ever went through that 12-step program, that serenity prayer is the truth. If there's something you can change, change it. If you can't change it, ask for serenity to accept it. There's some things. That's why I don't understand why people gripe about the weather so much, because it's just weather and it's going to change. Even with, you know, I'm believing for the best with these hurricanes, but this too shall pass. It's hurricane season and we will get through it. And other hurricanes have happened and life went on. Hopefully nobody that you know, is, you know, hope all of your peeps are in a safe place, but you know, it just is what it is. Like, why did, like, every time people, every spring people want to argue, you know, just gripe and gripe and gripe about the pollen. It's just for a couple of weeks, and it's the trees mating. And if they don't mate, they're not going to procreate. And if the trees don't procreate, they die off. And if they die off, we'll die off, because the oxygen we breathe is coming from those chlorophyll-filled leaves. So it, yeah, it's going to be obnoxious for a couple of weeks. You got to. What's the alternative? living on the moon in a on a barren wasteland where you can't breathe. So you got to let them do their thing. Is it obnoxious? Yes. But you shouldn't be watching that anyway. They're making love. You ought to be like, it's none of my business. None of my business. Y'all do what y'all got to do because we need little tree babies. But in the meantime, y'all done yet? But I love this idea of living in the question. That's one thing that I did appreciate. Let me quote Dispenza one more time. Is that thing I went to, because he talks so much about the brain. And one thing I really liked about it is things I had taught for years about living in the now. He was explaining from a neurological standpoint why it's important to live in the now. So it was a lot of missing pieces for me. And yet he ends it. Yeah, that. Oh, yeah, okay. Seeing what's up there. But he always ends it with, but I don't have all the answers, and you're not supposed to have all the answers, and live in the mystery. And I'm like, yes, thank you. Because if you think you're going to answer everything, well, I can tell you this. There's some things you can find out the answers to. You don't want to see the answer. You know, there's some things... I don't necessarily want to know. I mean, I'd rather just say, hey, you know what? People are human. They make mistakes. I don't need to know every. I mean, God knows I've heard everything in 45 years of counseling. But I also know there was a time, especially when I was counseling a whole lot, people would come to me and they'd start telling me something. And on occasion, I would stop them and say, now listen, before you go any further with where I can tell you're going with this, let me say, nothing that you say is going to change the way I feel about you. But think about what you're about to tell me, because you may unload and then walk out of here and think, oh my God, I can't believe I told him all that. And then you're going to think I'm thinking about it when I'm not, but it's going to be an issue with you. Now, if you're going to be cool with that, fine. Tell me, I don't think you can shock me. And I probably already kind of know it on some level anyway. However, think about how you're going to feel. Because I know there were some people that would come tell me a bunch of stuff and then quit coming to church. Like, oh, after I told you that stuff, I can't face you now. That's why I was trying to stop you. Of course, me, the people that would tell me, I think I have a drinking problem, like, you mean like you've been coming to church drunk for the last 10 years? Yeah, I knew. I already knew that one. Even back before I would come out, before I came out, like some people would be talking to me, I'd say, well, aren't you gay? And they'd be like, oh my God, I'm sorry. My bad. And then later, they always would be, but like they clearly weren't ready. I'm like, my bad. I didn't realize that's where we were. So let's back it up. Back it up to Denialville. I thought that's what you were here to talk about. Fine. But I like this idea of the mystery. You were talking about your little grandkids, like seeing the ocean through their eyes. So, and that's cool. That's why else do you think Jesus, it says he put a child in the midst of them and said, unless you become like this child, you can't see the kingdom. That's what being born again is seeing the mystery. Like now the idea of going to Six Flags seems horrible to me. Although we've gone twice since we've been together. We took, once we went for, they had like a LGBT weekend, and we went that to support the community. And then once we took my granddaughters. But I remember when sweet Lord, the summer that it opened when I was 9 years old, it was like going to heaven. I remember we took our little youth group there, and I'm not exaggerating. I didn't sleep a wink. I sat on my bed with my clothes on. I just could, because I'd been seeing the advertisements to it. I was like, oh my God. And it did not disappoint. But I was seeing it through 9-year-old eyes. Then I went through the years of, dear God. I can remember taking Christina, and we'd stand in line for those rides. And then we'd get there, and she'd freak out. And I thought, know what? You're going to ride this one. I'm not going to do this one more time. I remember forcing her into the screen machine, and people were like, sir, is there a problem? And I'm like, no, back off. She's riding this. I don't care if it scars you emotionally. I am not going to stand in this line one more time, and then you freak out. You're riding it. Look at my angry face. You're riding it. And, of course, at the end of it, she's like, oh, my God, that was so fun. I'm like, exactly. That's why I'm telling you to ride the thing. We didn't come here just to stand in line all day. Same thing happened with her at Whitewater. She couldn't swim yet. And we were in this line for this thing that you're supposed to get in a raft with them. And somehow she got away from me, and there's nothing I could do. I just saw her little blonde head going over the thing. And I'm like, hold on. You know, I was like, I hope that's not the last time I see her. I mean, there's nothing I could do. I mean, that the law of gravity took over. We got to the bottom. She was fine. Loved it. That's why my mom expressed some concern about her the other day. I said, Mom, let me tell you, this is how I am about Christina. And I had to learn this watching her get away from me at Whitewater. It's like, she'll be okay. She'll be on the rapids, and I'll find her at the bottom, and she'll be fine and laughing. So she's a grown woman. She'll figure it out. But that's the way everything is. Half the stuff that you get stressed out over, it's stuff that you can't even control anyway. So while you're here, you might as well enjoy the ride. I mean, frankly, I have to remember, Ken's already been through the loss of a parent, but the loss of his dad is imminent. And I'm nearly too practical about these things because I've been around this my whole life. I mean, he saw his mom pass away. I've seen people pass away I remember when I was 5 years old, and Sister So-and-so would be dying, everybody would go to the house and they'd bring food over. And I would be in the room, I'd watch them when they'd go. And so I'm very, not blasé about it, but I just know that there's a time to be born, there's a time to die. I mean, it happens, and we're not here forever. And I'm not ready to check out yet, but I know that time will come, and hopefully I'm at peace with it. I nearly feel like, I don't want this to sound fatalistic, but you know how many of us are in a mode of simplifying our lives? Last night I posted an Einstein quote, out of the clutter, find simplicity. I keep finding that more and more, you know, get rid of stuff that you don't need. If you don't need it, don't need it, don't need it. And I think that's kind of what you do, what you're supposed to do with your life. You keep laying, you keep shedding things until you're so streamlined. By the end, laying your body down, it's not a scary thing. It's just the next logical step in, well, I've lived out my time and I'm ready to see what's next. You know, it's, of course, some of us may be here a lot. I was watching I've been catching up a lot on old movies, and there was a Frank Sinatra movie. Wasn't even that good, but I was like, well, let me see how this turns out. And it was made in 59. It's called A Hole in the Head. And a woman who just has a brief part in it. She just plays a drunk woman coming in. She's a comedian. I can remember her name now. But she was there talking to Ben Mankiewicz. And, you know, she's little and frail. And I thought, she's probably, I guess, I didn't even do the math on this. She looked like she's maybe 85 or something. Totally, you know, everything he's asking her, she's talking about movies she was in and memories. He says, now, how old are you going to be on your next birthday? 105. I'm like, 100 and what the what? And she just had a cute little sense of humor. And I thought, well, now that's encouraging. I thought she was going to say 85. 105? She's like, yeah, I just love being in those movies. It was so much fun. We had such a good time. I'm like, well, that's how you live to be 105, is you just enjoy the ride. And if you get, if something happens to you, then you're just like, well, you know what? This is the new normal. So let's let's figure out what happens now. Because when you're just resistant of things, like, I want to still dress cool, but I want to dress cool for a man of my age. Do you know what I mean? There are certain things I think, all right, you can, you don't want to lose your edge, so you're going to keep that, but this, no, you're not going to be able to do that. And that's, those are those moments where you go like, no, I'm not sacrificing the cool. Like, you're never going to see me in a pair of high-waisted pants and, you know, I'm never going to look like a geezer. That's never going to happen. Socks with sandals and... Like, you can tell there's some guys that they just, there's one day they just gave up. Just like, what's the point? That's never going to happen. But there has to be that version of, all right, well, here's what it looks like at 50. Here's what it looks like at 60. And, you know, and sometimes you'll see some people like, okay, that I like the way that guy's kind of got it. You know, that's good. I want to keep some youthfulness to me. But I also know. What? Never going to happen. If you ever see that, then just go ahead and put me down. Take me to the Humane Society and say that we need to put him down. Because the worst thing I can imagine is not being cool. That would be the worst. So I'm never compromising that. But I also know that you are, you know, of a certain age. Right. My mom always said, she said, I would rather look good than look young. She said, there's a lot of young, ugly young people. And on that note, let's all stand. Did you get anything out of this today? Yeah. But of course you did. The meditation was real good. I like doing it at the beginning. I think that's the better way. So next week we'll just get right into it. What do we have? 2 more weeks in September? I don't know. I might keep even with the singer. I might keep doing it. I don't know. I like it. Yeah. I like it. What? Oh. Stuff you shouldn't be talking about. Please remain standing. Let's play this, especially for the YouTube audience.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give anytime by texting this number.
Easy peasy.
You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive.
Simple.
Complete the form and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit bishinthenow.com and
visit.
Click the support tab. Then
support.
Online donation.
Donate.
When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization
Charities.
Of the month. Thank you for your investment in Metron.
I was interpreting. If you're making a check, make it JESM and Danny will receive that. If you have cash, pay it forward. And thanks to those of you that gave the cash to me last week. It really helped. I appreciate it. So thank you. But you take it wherever you got energy for. Our year of living your best life this month is be connected. So that just means, you know, nurture your relationships. I do speak safety over you, whatever's going to happen in the next few hours. I speak safety and protection over your house and over your yard and the contents of your yard, and there's order and peace and clarity. If you have relatives that are in flux because of this, I just pray for them. I speak peace and protection over them, and I still say, Irma, we respect who you are, but we would prefer for you to move out to the sea and not take any more lives. And Mother Nature, we honor who you are. We're in awe. We're in awe of this amazing planet that we live on. So we pray in the flow with nature. And but I do speak life to everybody, and strength and longevity and youthfulness. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Those of you that just had birthdays in the last few hours, I say your best year just started. And it's going to be a good one for all of you. Get some quality rest. Be well in your body, well in your mind, and you wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I love you. Peace.